Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
You have had a reasonable amount of time, Mayor Heather Lindsay, to provide the people with the public records. You have lost, I have lost confidence, the people have lost confidence, and you cannot be trusted. And the five of you, how can you be trusted if you will allow her to conceal her public records?
The second the mayor complies with the court order, we're happy to dismiss the lawsuit.
So, in case you have not been keeping up, the City Council Melodrama Theater, the City of Milton, had another meeting. And in that meeting, they spent an hour figuring out what the meeting was and didn't. Because the purported purpose of the meeting was to discuss attorney-client representation and litigation. And then it was a question of whether they were trying to hire a new attorney or look for hiring a new attorney now that they've separated from Alex Andrade's firm, or whether they were going to talk about the lawsuit still pending against Mayor Heather Lindsay to produce her public records that she has not complied with, which they're trying to drop. But Alex Andrade and Eric Mead have said we can't drop that because that would be facilitating an illegal act, which is failure to comply with the public records laws. And so they tried to go around their attorneys. Marilyn Farrow, who has a super secret private attorney, who has a city councilwoman, has advised her that they should not waive attorney-client privilege and should not open up the shade meeting to the public, neither of which really makes much sense, but also has said that we can just file a motion ourselves directly with the judge. And because, remember, they want off the case. Okay, Alex Andrade's firm wants off the case because it's asking them to do something they consider unethical or illegal. And she says, well, why can't we just file directly with the judge? And Alex says, you can't. That's not how this works. You have to have representation. That's why we can't even leave the case without the judge's permission. And also, you know, this can all end today. As I have asked many times before we filed the lawsuit, Mayor, just give us the public records and then we're all good. It's all over. So Casey Powell, City Councilman Casey Powell, has put a motion on the floor to open up the shade meeting. Why are you hiding it? He's not, but he's trying to open up. And to waive attorney-client privilege. They haven't had a vote on this. They have had a conversation about whether they can even have this conversation. Because the meeting of utter ambiguity that was called by Marilyn Farrow, we don't even know what it's really about, which slice of the question it's really about. But, you know, she's the one that wants to go directly to the court, and Alex is telling her, you cannot do that.
The motion that I have drafted to present to the court, if the council agrees, is simply a response to what our city attorney already filed with the court. The resolution is just a reiteration of what we voted on January 11th to dismiss the lawsuit. And it's simply a draft because there might be modifications you would want to make to the verbiage.
And just to put a pin in this, the only person, the only entity that can file anything on behalf of the city until the judge releases us of that obligation is myself and my law firm, Moorhill Westmoreland. So, yes, what you just mentioned is a discussion about the active litigation, and that is why I recommended you have a vote simply to waive attorney-client privilege for this discussion and the shade meeting so we can have a fully transparent conversation about what you obviously want to discuss this evening.
So if you want to talk about the lawsuit, first of all, you can't do anything to the court. Only I, as your attorney, can do something to the court until I'm dismissed, and then you have to have other representation. Citizens can't go to the court on behalf of the city. Also, if this is what we're going to be talking about, you probably ought to waive attorney-client privilege because here I am talking to you as the attorney, giving you legal advice, and you ought to waive that and then open up the shade meeting so we can have a full conversation about everything, all of which makes sense to me. Cassie Powell, who I believe is Casey. Yes, not a joke. Casey Powell's wife is Cassie Powell. It's kind of cute, Casey and Cassie. Anyway, she's had enough.
Just trying to wrap my head around what's happening here because this group and most of you ran on the premise of transparency because the previous council didn't have that. And you have already done things that are going directly against what you ran on. This is not transparent at all.
She's not wrong.
You don't even understand the law. So who did you talk to that told you that once you fire an attorney, they're just done with the case? They don't work on it anymore. Because that's not how it goes. And our mayor, who is also an attorney, knows that. She's been in government legal work for a long time. This is atrocious.
So Marilyn Farrow mentioned her, you know, super secret Canadian girlfriend attorney that, because Canadian girlfriend like Mike, Anthony Michael Hall, you know, like the one that doesn't exist, or does it? I mean, I don't know who it is, but she doesn't want to say who it is, which is, you know, odd.
This means that nobody has to submit public records for any city business they discuss. And that's okay. It's against the law. It is illegal. And the reason that Alex does not want to represent you is because what you're doing is also illegal. So have fun with whatever happens after you all make your decision.
So Cassie Powell has explained this to them. Alex Andrade has explained this to him. Eric Mead has explained this to him. Howard Steele has explained this. I've explained this. Like, many people have explained this to you. You should get it by now. So they have a vote. And in the vote, they vote not to waive privilege and not to open the shade meeting.
So it's 3 ayes and 5 nays.
So now Robert Leak actually voted to waive and open, who had been the one defending the mayor and against the lawsuit. And then you have Larry McKee, who has now voted to not waive or open, even though he's the one that said he didn't vote to drop the lawsuit. It's so confusing, Robert Leak.
I will explain. I asked for a special called meeting in place of the shade meeting to begin with for this to be talked out in the open.
Good for you.
You know, anything that can be said in private can be said in public. And so, I did vote yes to waive the privilege.
Good for you. Transparency. We'll come back to this in a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Generator Source, powering Pensacola businesses with industrial generators to commercial backup systems. With the most trusted brands, expert installation, 24/7 support. That's GeneratorSource.com. Had a new accident that just popped up, Highway 29 and Beck Lakes Road. I'm not seeing any delays with that, but I just wanted you to be aware of it. I-10, starting to see a little minor slowdown. If you're traveling between Pine Forest and Highway 29, that's just minor. Other than that, we're rolling smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home, you want good advice, you want somebody you can ask questions of who will not only answer them, but help you ask better ones. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty do that. In fact, I was listening to her on Pep Talk the other day. She's so sweet. She always comes in here right at the end of the show, and you know, we hug and talk, and then she does Pep Talk. And one of the things that she was saying is, if people have questions, they're not even like thinking exactly about what they want to do. They just want to ask a question. Call me. You know, call me early. Call me with hey, what's my house worth? Call me with how long will it take me to sell it? Call me with I'd like to buy a house on the beach. What's it going to take? And you know, what she explained is there's always the three issues, right? There's cost, condition, and location. And, you know, better location, better condition is higher cost. You pick two out of the three, right? Okay. Well, what you think you might need in order to buy a house out on the beach may not be what you need. Or if you are willing to sacrifice a little bit on location maybe or condition, maybe you can get a smaller house that's on the beach, something like that. But that's the point. Call and ask. Don't feel like you got to be the expert. She knows, and she can help you understand that. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty. All right, back to the Milton City Council meeting, the meeting of utter ambiguity where nobody knew what the meeting was about and the points don't count. it's the craziest thing. I sat there kind of pulling my hair out trying to figure out, what are we even doing? John, you were at the meeting or you watched it online?
I watched it online live. And
same?
I was just, yes. And I was just laughing the whole time, just going, what?
What is happening? What? So Larry McKee, who, to his credit, voted against dropping the lawsuit, but is now voting not to open up the shade meeting transcripts or to waive attorney-client privilege in talking about the lawsuit.
Mayor Pro Tem, and I want to speak why I voted against it. I don't believe this meeting was designed for that. So there was no reason to open that up because we're not here for that reason.
In other words, the meeting of utter ambiguity was about hiring a new attorney, not about dealing with the past pending litigation. And so he thinks it's not on agenda, which if that's true, he's right, by the way. But the motion that Marilyn Farrow had to do entirely with the lawsuit. So apparently in her mind that she called the meeting of utter ambiguity was actually about that. And so that's why Casey Powell had said, let's waive privilege and open up the shade.
Yeah, with no documents, I mean, none of us, I mean, we're all kind of in the dark with what was happening.
Okay.
We only have a item number and a headline, and that's it.
Okay. As we all had.
All right, so point taken. The documents were not ready until 4:30 this afternoon.
Why couldn't the documents that you had, I'm sorry to interrupt, why the documents that you obtained from your lawyer could not be shared with the rest of the council? If you have information, typically we get information from staff prior to any meeting being occurred, but you have more information than anybody on this dais has, and I'm just trying to wrap my head of how is that possible and fair to the rest of the council members.
Gavin Hawthorne raising good questions of Marilyn Farrow, who called the meeting of utter ambiguity. Ashley Fretwell.
I didn't have a clear understanding. I mean, I do agree with Councilman McKee. I thought that we were coming in to discuss, you know, what we were going to do moving forward. I didn't realize it was going to be an actual discussion about the open case. But with that being said, with us having a lack of documentation, nobody really knows what's going on, I would like to make a motion that we either continue this or move this to a later date whenever we have a better understanding of what we need to discuss.
Okay, we have a motion on the floor to end this meeting. Is there a second?
I'll second.
All in favor? So this special meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
There is a public input section.
I'm sorry.
So they did nothing. They didn't know what the meeting was about. They didn't agree to do anything. And then she's just trying to close out the meeting. We're done here, I guess. Oh, somebody texts in, was the super secret Canadian girlfriend attorney's name rhyme with leather? Well, okay, I hope not. I mean, I hope Heather Lindsay is not the one that Marilyn Farrow consulted, because that would be, what's the word? A sunshine violation. But why wouldn't you say the attorney's name? Why wouldn't the attorney be present to talk to the council about the advice that was clearly terrible, as Alex Andrade explained? So I hope that's not the case. All I can say is if that were the case, it would explain why she doesn't want to say that's who it is. But you clearly cannot be talking with Heather Lindsay about the strategy for a special session in which you're going to make a motion dealing with the lawsuit against Heather Lindsay. So I'm gonna assume on Marilyn Farrow's behalf that that is not what has been going on. So also extra concerns that come up here are things like, you know, if we don't have representation, we won't be able to, you know, do business.
As I've talked independently with several council members, from my perspective, the biggest risk is being without a general counsel for this city and this council for the next 2 to 3 months. We couldn't bring to you an ordinance. We couldn't bring to you a contract. We couldn't bring to you anything of any importance for final decision, simply because it would not have gone through a legal review. And we could find ourselves in that situation later tonight.
So if you don't figure out how to have an attorney, which is really the pressing matter, we won't be able to do anything. Then, last word, he was the bookend. He was the first or one of the earliest speakers, and then Howard Steele comes up again at the end.
Howard Steele, y'all really spent a lot of time thinking this through, the five of you that wanted to dismiss the case against the mayor. Y'all really thought this thing through.
We're going to dismiss the case. We're going to tell our attorneys to do something in violation of Florida law. They're going to try to withdraw from the case, and also they're not going to be our attorneys anymore. And so we're not going to have attorneys. We're not going to have representation. And what are we going to do other than bolt? What?
This is absurd. I can't believe that the five of you would have voted to end that lawsuit. At the very least, the five of you should have to answer an ethics complaint. Because you're not working for the people of the city. You're not. You're working for the mayor. That's the only person that benefited from what you did last week.
Can't disagree with that.
And let me ask you, what did the attorney tell you last week? What did the attorney tell you in private? The attorney tell you, did he advise you, hey, that's a good idea. That's a real good idea. Or did the attorney tell you, no, I don't think you ought to do that? What did he tell you, Mr. Powers? Did he tell you that was a good idea? You're not going to answer that, are you?
That's Tom Powers, the city councilman. Also, he gave a massive data dump of public records to the city, which he titled, it was given to Alex Andrade, which was titled Text Messages for Ask, Ask being Alex Andrade. Okay. And he's now a city council member. And what he's saying in the background, you can barely hear him, is he's saying, we can't talk about the shade meeting, you know, because the first rule of shade meeting is you can't talk about shade meeting. So don't ask me questions about what we were advised to do in the shade meeting, because I can't talk about that because we haven't waived the right to keep that secret meeting a secret.
No, we're going to find out, though, because I have a feeling. No. We're going to find out way before then. And we're going to get those public records, too, from the mayor.
I believe you should be addressing your questions to the
now, I'm addressing my question. I don't need you to interrupt me unless you're going to answer my question. Unless you're going to answer my question,
Mr.
you don't
Steele,
need to interrupt me.
You may address
and
your comments.
You ask me a question, I'm answering your question. Your questions need to be directed to the chair.
And at the very least, the mayor needs to be removed from office by the governor.
That's kind of where we leave it. That's where it was left for us. Thoughts. Oh, somebody says, well, can anybody request these records? Maybe a member of the public or an anonymous request? Oh, yeah. I mean, Howard Steele, I know, has already requested them. I have requested them. I said, hey, as soon as the shade meeting is open and also the records that Heather Lindsay is supposed to produce, can you just send those to me whenever they're ready? So we'll get them eventually or not. I mean, at this point, who really knows? But theoretically, at some point in the future, we'll get them. So the standing questions are, what's in the records that are so eager to be hidden? What's in the shade meeting that they're so eager to delay us finding out about? And is there any law enforcement agency that is going to care about enforcing public records laws in this area? Because if nobody will, then nobody will follow them. Which is right now, if you are a public official, that's got to be the takeaway you're getting is whatever. John Pickens, that's Traffic on the Fives.
I can't wait for Shade Meeting Theater again.
That's well, gonna... if we can read the transcripts.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, I have also requested if there is an audio recording of the Shade Meeting.
Ooh, good job.
We'll see. Good I don't job. Know if there is, but court reporters sometimes do have. Anyway, go on.
All right. No accidents to report to you right now. Let's take a look at I-10, I-110. Seeing some minor slowdowns between Pine Forest and Highway 29 through that construction zone. And then looking over on 98 eastbound, just east of Navarre Beach Bridge, we're seeing about a 12 to 15 minute delay just due to congestion and construction. Other than that, we're looking good. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Five.
And let me say this. I am sure that the members of the city council that are on the wrong side of all this, they hate me treating this subject. They hate the way I do it. They think I'm being unfair, maybe. I don't know what. But and I actually hate the fact that it makes them feel unhappy and anxious and stressed. And I never wish. There are simple answers, you know, like produce the documents, produce the meeting notes, like do the right thing, and then I will praise you for it, which you will deserve at that point. Like, it's, I don't love getting on the radio and telling you how people are doing silly, dumb, illegal things. Like, that's not fun for anybody. I mean, it's entertaining, but I would rather that not be the case. I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
It's not if, but it's when. James chapter 1 reminds us that facing trials is not a matter of if, but it's a matter of when. And because trials will come, it is wise for us to be ready to handle them when they do. Just like if you're in a situation where you must physically fight, if the fight is unexpected, you might get sucker punched. But if you have your back foot planted and your shoulders squared up, you're ready to defend yourself, therefore your chances of victory have increased greatly. James chapter 1 prepares Christians to spiritually fight through the trials and understand God's purpose in allowing that trial. I want to encourage you to read closely James 1, 2 through 12, and ask God for a fresh dose of His wisdom as you fight through the trials of life.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
During tax season, your personal info travels to a lot of places you can't control. Between payroll, your home office, your tax preparer, and the IRS, if your W-2 gets exposed, that's just the ticket for identity thieves. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points every second. If your identity's stolen, they'll fix it guaranteed or your money back. Don't let identity thieves take you for a ride. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code CLAY. Visit LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
What would you say you do here?
I'm beginning to think that that was a quote from Elon Musk rather than Office Space. Also, I'm going to feel bad for this. If the Milton City Council members, the six anyway, were to submit a five items of what they did with their time last year. No, they're actually, some of them are quite good people, and I'm sure outside of some of this stuff, they do very good things. It's just on this stuff. There's David Wayne has got a headline or two for us. David?
Well, I sure do, Andrew. President Trump is pausing military aid to Ukraine 3 years after the Russian invasion. In a statement, the White House said Trump has been clear that he is focused on peace. Also, Trump's 25% tariffs on Mexico and Canada went into effect at midnight.
So we paused military funding to Ukraine. We voted with Russia at the UN last week. And we're no longer doing cyber attacks against Russia.
I'm Chris Foster.
Cool.
American military aid to Ukraine is on hold, Fox's Kristen Goodwin reports.
A senior Trump administration official tells Fox News the U.S. is pausing military aid until President Trump determines Ukraine shows a commitment to what the official calls good faith peace negotiations, stressing this is not permanent termination of aid. It's a pause. President Trump condemning Zelensky for saying the end of Russia's war against Ukraine is still very, very far away.
And Ukraine will be one of the things President Trump talks about during his speech to Congress tonight, 9 o'clock Eastern, called the Renewal of the American Dream.
The president's speech will feature four main sections: the president's accomplishments in his second term so far, the administration's actions on the economy, the need for more border security funding, and the president's plans for peace around the world.
Fox's Madeline Rivera, 25% tariffs on Canadian and Mexican and imports kicked in at midnight. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got cloudy skies right now, 54 degrees in Pensacola. An update on the redevelopment of the old Baptist Hospital campus in downtown Pensacola. Mayor D.C. Reeves tells the News Journal that an estimated $16 million demolition cost is accurate. And this is after the city received several bids here recently, with funding from the city, state, and a $2.9 million sale to Paces Preservation Partners for affordable housing. Around $10.9 million would be secured for the project. A selection committee is set to choose a demolition firm in April. Negotiations continue for a donation agreement between Baptist and the city. Mayor Reeves is also asking Escambia County to contribute $2 million towards the project. The city's been working towards demolishing the old hospital and building an affordable housing project for several years now. Mayor Reeves will be addressing the community with a press conference here later this morning. We could get more information on that then. The SS United States arrived at the Port of Mobile yesterday for preparations to become the world's largest artificial reef off of Destin and Fort Walton Beach. Over the next year, crews will be removing all non-metal materials to ensure environmental safety. Then the ship will be sunk in the Gulf. Okaloosa County has allocated $10.1 million for the project, which aims to create a habitat for marine life and attract divers. $1 million in funding is also allocated to establish a museum to honor the ship's legacy. Senator Rick Scott sharing his sadness over the passing of Congressman Lincoln Diaz-Balart. Scott offered heartfelt condolences to Lincoln's family, noting the significant impact he had on so many Floridians. Scott remembered him as a champion of freedom and democracy. Lincoln served in Congress for nearly a decade and represented Florida's 21st district. Well, the 2025 Pensacola Mardi Gras season comes to a close today with the French Quarter Fat Tuesday celebration at Seville Quarter, and that starts here at 11 o'clock this morning. There will be live music and themed decor in seven rooms hosted by various local crews. The 2026 King and Queen Priscus will also be crowned later this evening. There's a cover charge that starts at 4 p.m. Golf Breeze is gearing up for a women's philanthropy event next week. Golf Breeze Will Do, a local organization dedicated to community service, is hosting a membership drive and a social March 13th. Women can learn about their initiatives and get involved in making a difference through collective giving there. Also, Escambia County EMS is inviting the public out to an open house on Saturday, March 15th. That'll start at noon and go until 4 p.m. at the Public Safety Building. Officials say that will include hands-on activities, tours, and a chili cook-off. You can also learn more about EMS services in Escambia County. It is 7:34, News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
Brought to you by the Watson Law Firm. If you've been injured in a car accident, visit watsonfirm.com. And one accident to let you know about that just happened, Highway 29 and 10 Mile Road. Not seeing any backups associated with it, but I want you to be aware of that. And also, if you're on Woodbine Road, it's backed up all the way to Guernsey Road, so be aware of that. Let's see here, I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29 through that construction zone is seeing about a 5 to 7 minute delay. I'm John Piggins with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to be seeing those clouds increasing as breeze comes in as well. 72 degrees for your high. Overnight tonight, showers and thunderstorms move in with a threat of severe weather. Temperatures dropping near 59 degrees through the overnight hours. On Wednesday, storms exiting the area by about 2 a.m. By Wednesday afternoon, 69 degrees with sunny skies. Overnight Wednesday, temperatures dropping near 46. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
54 in Pensacola, 55 in Gulf Breeze. 48 right now in Milton. Our next news is at 8 o'clock. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, and dependable. And now a pre-opening market report.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. President Trump has imposed 25% taxes on imports from Canada and Mexico and doubled his levies on Chinese products to 20%. All three countries, America's top trading partners, are threatening retaliation. The following items could see price increases as a result: cars, prices at the pump, computers, toys, Mexican avocados, tequila, and more. NVIDIA shares fell nearly 9% after President Trump confirmed that tariffs from Canada and Mexico will go into effect today. The company's shares are now trading at the same price they were in September before the U.S. presidential election. NVIDIA is worth nearly $2.8 trillion after yesterday's slide. Red Robin has announced it is considering closing around 70 underperforming locations as the gourmet burger chain attempts to repay debt. The chain's total revenues for 2024 was $1.25 billion. Futures are moderately higher. That's Your Money Now.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do, and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
For almost two decades, Bella Magazine has been celebrating the women of the greater Pensacola community. The tradition continues as Bella Magazine brings print to radio every month on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Tune in Thursday at 9 to hear latest health and wellness, philanthropy, stories on local businesses and women, fashion and beauty, home and garden, food and wine, travel stories, and more. That's the Bella Magazine Show, Thursday at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Join Pensacola Opera and Cody Martin today at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel for discussion of the upcoming show, Pagliacci, March 14th and 16th at the Pensacola Sanger Theater. A reflection of real life, love, jealousy, and a little drama never killed anybody. For tickets, go to PensacolaOpera.com.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions, 850-437-1620.
Ready for intelligent and thought-provoking conversation? Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola. Weekdays from 2 till 4 p.m. on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Guy Benson, the brilliant and charismatic host, brings you a fresh perspective on the biggest stories of the day. Guy keeps you engaged and informed. Don't miss out on the intellectual thrill ride. Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola from 2 till 4 p.m. It's the show that'll challenge your thinking and leave you wanting more. On News Radio Pensacola.
Good morning, 7:39 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. It's 55 now. It's going to be stormy overnight. It's likely to have, you know, maybe some inclement bad weather. You know, what was the thing I saw on TV? It was rain and wind and possible tornadoes, but no large hail. So take no large hail. Okay, fine. But yeah, overnight tonight, we're a 2 or 3 on the 1 to 5 scale. This storm is doing some real bad stuff right now in eastern Oklahoma and northeastern Texas and some around like Kansas City over towards St. Louis up through Chicago. It's kind of like hitting all the major cities basically right now throughout the Midwest. Joining us here in studio, we have Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons. Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are y'all?
Good. I'm doing good. How did Mardi Gras go, especially out on the beach? You know, the city's taking care of their stuff, although you help. How did the beach parade go on Sunday?
Well, I think all three parades went very well. Friday night, weather was perfect, a little bit cool. Saturday was picture perfect, and Sunday was very good as well. I think that, you know, our parade's kind of, less than a mile long. We spent months preparing for this and had many meetings about security, and it went off without a hitch.
Good. Excellent.
During the parade, there was zero arrests.
Okay, I'll take that. And, you know, it's a short parade, but that's about as far as the parade participants can probably make it.
Well, you know, if you go slow, it's longer. It depends on your speed, yeah, right, and how short the parade is, and if whether you're walking or whether you're riding right in one of the floats.
You did have an incident on Young Street overnight, a robbery home invasion something?
That's how it was reported, yeah. I just got word that...
he's got his skeptical reporting.
1200 West Young Street, we had a report that a couple guys home invaded them. Our deputies got there really quickly, so quickly, in fact, that we saw two males running from the area wearing the clothes that was consistent with what was reported. We were able to catch one of them, one we're still looking for, but we did catch and arrest Christopher Albritton Sr. and charged accordingly with all those charges that I just mentioned. So we're still investigating it. You know, it's very, very, very rare that we have just a random home invasion at one particular location. So we're looking into exactly why they picked that location and the details surrounding it.
All right. So, you know, reading between the lines, there are often more bits of evidence, reasons, relationships, activity.
Well, and if there's reasons, it doesn't mean you can kick
you can't still
door
go in and, yeah, and home invade and rob. So yeah,
we,
right.
We certainly arrest people for that sort of thing.
Let's see. We've got we didn't really get a chance to talk about this much, but the Dream Big Academy you had 2 weeks ago, I think, something like that. What is this? This is not one I'm as familiar with.
Well, you know, we have the Blazer Academy for 13 to 15 year olds, and we wanted something that we can, you know, reach down a little bit to some younger kids, who may dream of being a law enforcement officer, who may dream of being in public service.
Yeah.
So we decided to do this Dream Big program, and it's for kids that are boys and girls, obviously, from 5 to 11 years old. We try to hit the elementary school ages, and it's
For at-risk youth or for everybody?
No, anyone.
Okay,
anyone.
Right.
We don't necessarily, you know, cater just to at-risk youth, because you never know who's at risk. But in this case, we wanted to open it up to kids and give them a little peek into what law enforcement is like, but also take that opportunity to be a little bit of a mentor for them. This filled up within 2 hours, and we had about 80, 85 kids that showed up there. Again, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, all the way through 11. And it gave operate as if it's a training academy, mini training academy.
Oh, all right.
It takes about 2 hours, 2.5 hours. But it is, you know, we go through different things. They go through a canine portion of their training, where basically they pet the dog and watch the dog obey. And then we have a vehicle portion of it where they sit in the car, run the lights and sirens, and they check out the cars and the motorcycles and our Bearcat and the Rook and stuff like that. We have a crime scene portion of the academy. We have an agility portion, a physical fitness portion of it that we set up with a little bit of an obstacle course in it. And then we have a core value section, which they probably is the most boring, but that's what I do. I talk about our core values, courtesy, integrity, professionalism, what that really means and what we need from our law enforcement officers. And it's very well received. It's about as popular as you can get. We're going to have one more later on this summer, and we'll probably end up putting it out and it well in advance because people, what happens is it fills up and then we get all these emails, not nasty, but emails like, I missed it. I wish I'd known.
Yeah.
You know, and we're so full, we can only accommodate so many kids.
Free cake for 100, but 1,400 of them are angry they didn't get free cake.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. Exactly. And, but we do give them a uniform. We call it a uniform, but it's a T-shirt with our patch and a little junior deputy ID card. So it's really pretty cool.
It seems like all of these different programs you do, what I categorize as what you used to call community policing, but
right.
kind of the community engagement, outreach, you know, positive branding, education, all that. It's like everyone you come up with, it just sells out. You know, you got the Citizens Law Enforcement Academy, or the Citizens Police Academy, the Civilian Firearms Training Course, the Dream Big Academy, the Blazer Academy. I mean, it's you should just do more. I mean, because everything you do, people want more of it.
Well, and obviously we're tweaking things to make it really good. We have Cars, Cops, and Crawfish coming up in on April the 12th, I believe it is. And we want to invite people to come up to that. It's at Five Flags Speedway, and this is another engagement opportunity that we have. Mm-hmm. And we mix the cops with obviously the cars, the car show, and then the crawfish. You know, we got people from Cubs Crawfish that are selling crawfish there, because we wanted to do something in the middle of the north end of the county because they usually get, I say neglected, but usually overlooked with regards to the parades and stuff like that. So we're gonna have all that stuff. So to talk about the things that we do, we're very proud of the engagement opportunities that we have, and we want to make sure that we provide the best for our community because they deserve it.
We'll come back to Chip Simmons here in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Just one accident to let you know about on Highway 29 and 10 Mile Road. Not seeing any road blockage with that, but other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. One more before we get into kind of a different thing that I wanted to talk with you about, but civilian firearms training course. We kind of mentioned that, and you did it what last Saturday was the first incident of this. Is that the first time
it's
you've
actually
done this?
The second.
Second time.
Okay.
What is this? How many people are involved?
Well, our training division puts it on. We have a grant. The state offered a grant to putting on this type of things whenever they allowed concealed carry.
Okay.
And they went to constitutional carry. They also allowed for funding for some training courses. So if anyone wanted to carry, but they weren't sure if they knew enough about firearms, they want to make sure that they're on top of their game before they do so. This is our way of giving them some pointers on, you know, safe ways to carry.
Okay.
There's various types of holsters that you can do.
Pragmatic.
This
is
basic
kind of a how-to and gun safety and, you know, don't just stick it in your, you know, jogging shorts, you know, not
There's
a great plan.
There's some drawing practice and some practical stuff.
Yeah.
That, you know, that says you can't have it hidden under, you know, 14 layers of clothes and expect it to help you, but you can't have it outside or just flimsy on your gym shorts. You can't be doing that kind of stuff.
Well, that's good. I mean, that's good stuff that people never much think about and, you know, hearing it from the professionals. That's fantastic. I did want to ask you, I had a chance to go on a narcotics warrant service. So I got a chance to see kind of inner workings of the unit and the guys who do it and, you know, great folks. I mean, and one of the things that was kind of a theme the lieutenant kept saying was the way it used to be, like back in the Chip Simmons Street Patrol days, even though you
Is
were
that
the
how they age.
That's
things?
Not how they said it. It was the but, you know, that back in the day it was kind of like, all right, let's go get this house and we get five guys together and we jump in a van and a cruiser and we go knock a door and go in.
Yes.
It is not how it is done today. It is much more organized, systemic, planned out, paramilitary, really a military style in terms of briefing and surveillance and who's got which door, who's got which corner, what's the order of entry, and the announcement, you know, while it's happening to the whole neighborhood over the loudspeaker, we're serving a warrant here. It's okay. But also to the people inside that there can be no doubt that they were announced. I mean, that's a significant change in protocol, in my opinion, over the years.
Well, and again, that is correct. And I'll get into that in a second. But I think that there are levels of, you know, how many people we use. It depends upon our assessment of the threat level and that sort of thing in the house or apartment or trailer, whatever it's going to be. The location obviously makes a difference. The purpose makes a big difference. You know, if there's still stolen weapons or automatic weapons in there, we're going to do things a little differently. I would say they you're right. They rag me out quite a bit about, because when I was in narcotics, we had about a 5 to 7, depends on the year, man team. And all we would call is for one Mark Cruiser car to be there, because we're not in uniform, and we need someone to transport the bad guys once we catch them. And we jump out of the car with a search warrant, we will knock and announce, and then we would enter the house on our own with a pair of blue jeans on and a badge around our neck, much like...
Yeah, the appearance of the SWAT and or narcotics unit, there's overlap, but they're not the same thing, is, you know, long hair and beards, and they wear balaclavas and hide their identity because you shouldn't know who these people are, right?
Yeah.
And they don't look like the cop doing extra duty at the Walmart.
Yeah. Yeah, no, we... Well, everyone has their assignment.
Yeah.
And their purpose. And they train so much. The SWAT team trains so much with the narcotics unit, to make sure the narcotics unit can do things with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because the worst thing you want to do is if you and I have been training to do a search warrant, and then we get bring a third party in here, he has no idea what we're doing. And that could be dangerous for all three of us. So we found this out. We used to do some search warrants with kind of a weird story, but we used to search warrants with NCIS, or NIS back in the day. If
Navy.
There's a military member, we would go with them. And at one point, we had some members of that particular unit coming with us. And as they get out, they draw their gun, and their entire holster comes out in their hand. And we're running, and they try to put it on, and they trip over it. It was just
a mess.
It was pretty bad. So we decided, you know what? It's important if we train together. Let's train together so we can help them out. In their defense, they don't do search warrants.
Right,
that sort of thing. The place is secured, and then they walk in. So these are the types of things that we decided we're gonna up our game a little bit. We did this 30 years ago, 35 years ago, and we got really good at what we did. But let me also mention that our narcotics unit back in the day, all but one were on the SWAT team also. So we would just put our SWAT gear on and go and kick a door and without having to worry about the entire SWAT team. And even now, we decide what level of call out we have.
Sure.
Is it just an entry team that we need? Do we need both teams? Do we need perimeter and entry? And as you mentioned, they're really good at what they do.
Very, very good. And you know, kind of the other side of this that I want to make sure to give attention to is, from what I saw, not just professional and organized and well-trained, and, of course, now you have that firearms training facility that I went through that you have all kinds of ability to train them on how to do this physically,
and
which
and
door, which room.
It.
Yeah. Right. I mean, it's, you know, there's an air conditioner there. There's a door there. There's a window there. This is a primary. That's our backup breach, like all that stuff. But the thing that I saw that it wasn't surprising to me, it just wasn't the thing I was thinking about, is, and I'm sure your critics are going to scoff at this, but your officers are so kind. I mean, they are genuinely, because you think of like SWAT and narcotics guys as being kind of these tough guys, you know, they try to look tough, and that's perfectly appropriate. And but they were so eager to make sure that comfort, even for the bad guy, suspected bad guy, was maintained. You know, things like making sure they got water, they're sitting in the sun, making sure they're sitting comfortably, because sitting in handcuffs is uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we can put them in a chair, if we can put them in the shade, if we need to call EMS, you know, we'll get there, because if there's a health issue, we'll get them to take care of you. We might think there might be a health issue, go ahead and call them preemptively and make sure, like, all of that, like the whole, not the camaraderie stuff, which wasn't surprising to me, not the sort of semi-military thinking, and I know a lot of these guys are probably former military, so that's not a surprise, but the courtesy part was like off the charts from what you might see on TV. You know, you have this picture of how these things go on TV, and you're roughing up people and doing, and I'm like, I don't know, here at least it was not like that.
Well, we want to be courteous.
Unless it had to be.
We want to be
sure if it had to be, but
if they let us.
Yeah.
You know, if you let us be courteous, you let us be we'll always be professional, but if you let us be courteous, we will do so. If you put your hands on us, then we're liable to punch you in the mouth. That's how we're trained to do what we can as professionally as we possibly can, as long as you'll let us. Mm-hmm. And so my plea is for bad guys, let us do our job.
And even down to the point of like the whole surveillance ahead of time is, you know, paying attention to, are there kids here? Are there dogs here? Are there pets here? Are there females here that are not involved? You know, like all of that kind of stuff. And so that when you get inside the door or the window or whatever, it's not a surprise or not as much a surprise, but you want to make sure to protect them too. I mean, always.
Well, and that's all part of the training. Whether you're doing a search warrant at whatever neighborhood you were in, or whether you're responding to NAS on a terrorist call.
Yeah.
The call itself dictates our response. And while we're always professional, I think professionalism means that you'll take care of business when business needs to be taken care of. And we have proven in the past, and we continue every day to prove that we're willing to do that. But it also means that you can be engaging with a Dream Big opportunity or a Blazer Academy or a Cars, Cops, and Crawfish. But again, never lose sight of the fact that we are a law enforcement agency, and we're here to keep our community safe, and we're going to do whatever we can to make sure that that happens. And I'm just sitting here kind of smiling because the way you described our the men and women on mm-hmm. that day just gives me a smile because we are that professional. Mm-hmm. We are that effective. We are that well-trained. And again, Skimby County deserves that, and they're getting it.
Yeah, no, it was very, like I say, it was very encouraging, and especially because the portrayal of your profession by TV and often news is often, well, post-George Floyd and even before that, mm-hmm. I mean, really an outright lie, a slander. And so to see it in person, you know, somebody who watches a lot of TV and still knows a lot of cops but still watches a lot of TV, and I'm thinking, you know, I wish every citizen could just see kind of this.
We try to put out a lot of body cameras and
yeah,
a lot of footage.
Yeah,
that
and
that
it's
we
just,
can.
You know, I mean, I know you can't persuade everybody, okay? Yeah. But it is, you know, that courtesy part is not that's not just a word on the door. I mean, that is
right,
a
yeah.
genuine cultural
ingrained
goal.
In
yes,
our training
absolutely.
From the cadets to the training academy to the field training program to all of our specialized units. And I'll say it, no one does it better.
Well, Shiptones, I just want to give you credit and your folks credit because they were fantastic, and I appreciate them letting me have a little peek behind the scenes and, you know, to see what was going on. So thanks, as always, for what you do. Thanks for running a super professional organization, and we'll talk to you next week.
You bet. Take care.
755 News Radio 92.3, John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. Brought to you by Insect Pest and Lawn. Get your yard spring ready with $100 off your first treatment with a new annual contract. Call Insect today. Still dealing with that accident on 29 and Beck Lakes Road. It's cleared out of the side of the road, but we're seeing some minor delays there. If you're heading on Highway 90 from Payson to Pensacola, you're going to notice some delays backed up on that. Also, 98 eastbound east of Navarre Beach Bridge to the Windhaven Beach area. Expect about a 10 to 15 minute delay there. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Guys, ever had a bad experience in the bedroom that totally threw you off? It messes with your head, your confidence, and suddenly it's all you can think about. Next thing you know, you're avoiding trying altogether because the fear of failure is just too much. That's where Wave Men's Health comes in. Their providers have been helping men overcome ED and providing hope even when the pills and other treatments have failed. Their proven personalized treatments have some of the highest success rates out there. No awkwardness, no judgment, just real results that bring back your confidence and that connection. It's important to get your ED treated quickly so that it doesn't get harder to treat down the road. Wave Men's Health has treatments that online pharmacies only dream about. Tonight is your night for intimacy and connection. Call Wave Men's Health today at 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Your consultation is discreet and could be the start of something incredible. 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. And let's make tonight unforgettable. Wave Men's Health, making it happen.
At Pennair Credit Union, we know that road trips don't start by driving into the sunset. A day at the beach doesn't begin with packing the car. Even car shopping doesn't really start at the dealership. Your new car journey begins with an auto loan pre-approval from Pennair Credit Union. Because at Pennair, auto financing is easy. And when you get pre-approval before you shop, you'll be ready to hit the road when you find the perfect car. Get started at Pennair.org/car loan. Whether it's new, used, or refinanced, vehicle loans from Pennair Credit Union fit you perfectly. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Opportunity Lender.
Tomorrow at 10 a.m., the Pensacola Expert Panel welcomes Mathnasium to the studio. If you have school-aged children, please join us as Adana Elder will be here to enlighten us on the Mathnasium method. Mathnasium has a solution for students of all skill levels. At Mathnasium, they are changing lives through math. So don't miss the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10 a.m. with Mathnasium.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WER-TV, News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
You cut me deep, Shrek. You cut me real deep just now.
.758 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with a headline or two for us. David?
Absolutely, and good morning, gentlemen. Well, 25% tariffs ordered by President Trump on goods from Mexico and Canada have now gone into effect. In response, Canada says it's imposing retaliatory 25% tariffs on $100 billion of U.S. goods. The president also imposed another 10% tariff on Chinese imports. That's in addition to a 10% tariff he enacted last month as well. And Beijing says to expect some more retaliatory tariffs on their end as well.
This is the dawning of the age of the
tariff.
Listen
on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.